On Saturday, January 23rd, the ivory gull that had been delighting birders and tourists in Duluth's Canal Park since New Year's Day appeared to be in serious distress. Wildwoods, our wonderful and professional bird rehabilitation organization, was called in late Sunday, and some people did try to capture the gull, but it eluded them. It hasn't been seen since nightfall on Sunday. It's sad that the bird died, and also bewildering. Ivory gull individuals do appear now and then in the lower 48. It's rare enough that when one appeared last year in southern Illinois, birders from all over America made the journey to see it. The American Birding Association's Facebook page kept birders up to date on the Duluth bird's appearances, and again, many people made the trek to Duluth to see it. No one knows why individuals of some species wander occasionally. Ivory gulls have long been known to be subject to this periodic wandering, but whether the individual vagrants leave their natural range because they're in some distress or for another reason is beyond our ken. Thanks to the scientists putting transmitters on snowy owls in Project Snowstorm, we're in the beginning stages of teasing out some of the mysteries involved in that species' winter movements. That work, in combination with the many insights raptor rehabilitators bring to the table in handling an even larger number of individuals during some snowy owl invasion cycles, is getting answers to some of our questions, even as it's inspiring even more questions. But this kind of project would be impossible with ivory gulls because it's so rare and unpredictable that an individual ivory gull moves south in the first place, and most remain only a day or two in a single spot, making it unlikely that a bander involved in an ivory gull project could even get on the scene while the bird was still present. Even if banders were present, they haven't developed straightforward protocols to safely trap gulls in winter. Most research projects on gulls are done on their breeding grounds. Because no one captured it, we'll never know why the Duluth ivory gull was in distress. One ivory gull that drew hundreds of birders to West Point Lake in Georgia in 2010 died of aspergillosis, a common and widespread fungal infection. Did the bird leave its natural range because it was already infected? Do birds that wander somehow have reduced immunity compared to the ivory gulls that stay in the Arctic? It's so hard to amass data about such exceptional birds that every single data point is valuable. But most birds in distress die either directly from predators or at nighttime, making it very unlikely that carcasses can be retrieved for necropsies. The mangled ivory gull carcass I retrieved in Superior a few weeks ago was too far gone to provide any information about the bird's physical condition before death. Scientists at the Field Museum have retrieved both a louse and a mite from it, so even the salvageable body parts are contributing to our knowledge of the species, but not as much as a full carcass could have. Retrieving and providing professional rehabilitation for out-of-range birds after they're clearly sick or injured seems to me the wisest course, both out of compassion for the bird in case it can be rehabilitated for release, and to augment the woefully tiny body of information we have about these birds. Our lack of physical data about this otherwise wonderfully well-documented individual lends its death an additional layer of tragedy. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.